This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Reason for the Season.
Life was cheap in the ancient world. There was slavery. People were being crucified. There was death in the games at the Colosseum. In sophisticated Rome and Greece, abortion was common. Unwanted or deformed babies or babies of families too poor to care for them were taken out to the mountains or the woods and abandoned, left to die of exposure or worse. And here's an interesting thing you usually don't hear. In an effort to save those babies, the early Christians went to wherever the babies were, scooped them up, and took them onto themselves. Life is precious to the believer. In Rome, infanticide, the killing of children, it was legal. Such was the soulless fabric of the pagan world of Rome. Into this culture of death, a baby was born. Despite the dangerous times, his birth was no secret. You think they want to keep the birth of the Messiah, one so important, a secret in that environment. But no, this was an event to be heralded. Even though the town he was born in was just a blemish on the back of the giant Roman Empire, as in defiance of the danger, a star has traveled to the very spot where that baby lay. Like a giant spotlight, it marked the humble barn where the baby was warmly ensconced in a hay-filled manger. He was surrounded by his maternal mother and his legal father and an array of farm animals. While it was a humbled birth, it also was a heralded birth. Jewish holy men called prophets, inspired by God, had drawn a bright line in their writings pointing to this little town and this tiny baby. But it was not just the ancient predictions and promises that heralded the moment. Because on this evening, in the quiet of that starry night, a great angelic choir filled the sky, and they weren't playing to an empty house. The fields under this canopy of music and heavenly light were filled with shepherds tending their sheep long before the great musical composers and masters put note to paper. The angels sang a cantata whose words and music would be inspiration for the angels. Luke 2:14 says the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The choir's angelic master of ceremonies announced the good news and great joy that had come to all people. Let's eavesdrop on what the angels were telling the shepherds in Luke 2:11 and 12.
"For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
In response to his words, these shepherds, these commoners, these minimum wage earners, these people on the bottom rung of the social ladder were the first people to stand behind that and beside that holy family. The shepherds would be the first members of the human race to look upon the child who would bring hope, salvation, forgiveness, purpose, and life to all people, regardless of bloodline or birthright, and then they in turn would go out and tell others the story. In time, the shepherd's place alongside the family would be taken by men of science and status. They, like the shepherds, were guided to the place where the child lived. Three things guided these wise men: faith, reason, and a star. In faith, they had diligently searched the scripture of the holy prophets and believed what they wrote. They believed that out of Bethlehem would be born the King of the Jews. In faith, they studied the scripture, and by reason, they studied the stars. Moses had written thousands of years earlier that a star would mark the king's birthplace. In their collaborations and in their calculations, they reasoned the star now hovering over Bethlehem was that star. And in their hearts and in their heads, they knew that if they followed the star, it would lead them to history's greatest moment. As the prophet Isaiah penned 700 years before, for Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Colossians 1:15 tells us that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And John 1:1 tells us his disciples knew that Jesus, with whom they had lived and walked and ministered, was God in the flesh. This was the real thing. This was the promised one. We know. We handled him. We touched him. We saw him. We listened to him. He invaded our lives and intersected our issues. He spoke to us from his heart, and it touched our minds and touched our hearts. And we knew he was the promised Messiah by all he did and all he said. In Christ, God kept his promise to come to earth. But why as a baby? Why would Almighty God choose to be born in such a common way under such humble circumstances? Why didn't the Master of the Universe ride in on that shining star and make a great entrance? After all, the mythmakers would have been very happy if he did that. Why not arrive in a flaming chariot or a flying saucer, the way the science fiction writers would have appreciated it? Because, as one of Jesus' names tells us, the name Emmanuel, that our great God chose to be one with us by becoming one of us. His birth as a baby, at a time in the world history when life itself had little value, imbued all life with great value. His birth as a baby said, "All life is precious." Do you know that? All life is precious. That baby in its mother's womb has meaning and purpose and potential. Mary's body carried the very God of all creation at a time when women in the Middle East, Rome, Greece, India, and China were considered no more than the property of their husbands. Jesus' birth by a human mother signified that in God's economy, women have a value all their own. Galatians 3:28 says this, "In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is male, neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." In short, if society or the powers that be wanted to marginalize or subjugate women or anybody else, they would get no help from God. They're on their own. His birth as a baby implies that God loves and honors the family. Christ's birth elevates the family above the state and all other human institutions. Think about that. In 2014, how important is that? That marriage, the family, is above the government and above the state. If the home is the first schoolhouse, then life's most important lessons are to be taught there. In the Christian home, children should see faith in Christ lived out moment by moment. They should see that it's a safe place where love, respect, honor, and loyalty are demonstrated. In a Christian home, children should see Christ is its head. Dad is its spiritual leader, and mom is its heart and soul. In a Christian home, let me repeat that, children should see that Christ is the head. Dad is the spiritual leader, and mom is its heart and soul. A godly, happy home is the nourishing soil that raises healthy children. The angelic choir heralded for all to hear and repeat that Jesus' birth and subsequent ministry would be the source of peace, joy, and gladness to all people. And Jesus put those words into action. By his words and by his example as the great physician, Jesus' healing touch inspired his followers to reach out and care for the sick. Because of his example, Christians have been out in front caring for the sick of the world. Hospitals, as we know them, began through the influence of Christ and his church. In the book, Hospitals, What They Are and How They Work by Donald Snook Jr., here's the quote. Quote, many of the great hospitals can be traced to the period directly following the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, when the bishops of the church were instructed to go out into every cathedral city in Christendom and start a hospital. Think of the Salvation Army. Think of the great work being done around the world. When you heard the stories of the Ebola crisis, you saw Christians, Christian physicians, and Christian therapists and Christian nurses on the line, by and large, helping the people of Africa. As he walked the dusty streets of this world, Jesus not only had compassion on the leper, the blind, the lame, and the deaf, his heart and his hand also touched the lives of the poor. Jesus encouraged his followers to put their love for him into action through deeds of kindness to those in need. In Matthew 25, verse 40, he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And Christians have for centuries followed their Lord's instruction. Polls here in America consistently show one thing. You know what it is? That people who attend church regularly are more likely to give a higher percentage of their household income to charitable causes than those who don't. Those who don't see their purpose beyond their own lives. We like to think that we see our purpose as the Amwell Church of the Brethren beyond the box, outside of the constraints of these walls, to reach and help others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, a helping hand, a healing hand, and an encouraging word. We'll pray for you, and we'll be consistent about it, and we'll be faithful to it. Yes, life was cheap, and times were dark 2,000 years ago. But then life and light came into the world in the form of a baby. History marked that date as Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And for 2,000 years, that life and that light have not been extinguished. As we celebrate his birth, we must guard against the many ways in which the reason for the season can get mangled by commercialism or neglect. The reason for the season? Christ came to earth because a sinful world needed a sinless Savior. Christ came to earth because a loveless world needed the evidence of a loving God. Christ came to earth because a hurting world needed a physician whose healing touch could heal them from the inside out. Christ came to earth because a people in bondage to sin and self needed to be set free. And Christ came to earth because he and he alone was willing to leave a throne in heaven, to lay in a manger in Bethlehem and hang on a cross on a hill called Calvary. That light, that love, that hope was born one starry night 2,000 years ago, and its message is just as significant today. If God is given glory in your life, his peace and goodwill is yours on Christmas Day and every day. God bless you. Blessed and Merry Christmas to you all. Let's stand together. Now we're going to do something special. We're going to take our Jesus birthday offering, and we'll do it as this hymn is sung. I want to remind you what the Jesus birthday offering is for this year. A pastor and his wife in Halifax, Vermont, have lost their home. Very difficult circumstances created so that the home would be practically bombed. It's filled with broken windows and doors. And so we want to help the Monroes today. We want to ask you to dig a little deeper in your pockets this Christmas season. And just give to this birthday offering, and to give deep, and to give as much as you can, because we want to try to get them or in a place where they can be warm tonight. So let's begin by singing our closing hymn, which is number 34, the First Noel. And then I'm going to ask one of our young people to come up and hold the box. One of you ladies back there want to come up and help? Tiffany, would you come up? Hold the Christmas box. And what I'll ask you to do is we'll just start with Margaret, and you just walk away all the way back to your seats, and we'll just come out this way and just keep going until everybody has had an opportunity to give, okay? Let's sing.
The First Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They look it up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Born is the King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, the wise men came from country far
to seek
for King. Was their intent,
and to follow the star wherever it went.
Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Verse 6, the last verse.
Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven
and earth of naught,
and with his blood Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Thank you. What beautiful singing.
Thank you.
audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.